Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of November 26, 2023. It's entitled Life's Deadly Follies, Wrath, Part 2. Some of the verses we'll be looking at is Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22, and 25, verses 21 and 22. The call to worship is taken from Psalm 145, verses 18, 19, and 21 from the Good News Bible. He is near to those who call to Him, to those who call to Him with sincerity. He supplies the needs of those who honor Him. He hears their cries and saves them. I will always praise the Lord. Let all His creatures praise His holy name forever. Amen. We've been looking at the book of Proverbs and most recently seeing what Proverbs says about the deadly follies, the deadly sins. These are sins of the mind and attitude which, if unconfessed, will damage our relationship with each other and with God. Last week, we looked at the problem of wrath and anger. Today, we will be looking for the solution to wrath. Holding on to anger and stewing in it leads to the sins of bitterness, resentment, and rage. However, you may say, you know, what was done was wrong, and I cannot act as if it never happened. The anger and frustration is eating me up, and I want them to suffer as well. And yet we know this isn't right. So how can I get out of this swamp of anger and wrath? Or better yet, how can I avoid it altogether? Proverbs and other passages of Scripture give us the answer. So we'll turn to the Bible. How can I get out of the swamp of anger and wrath? The first thing we are told is to forgive. Forgive them. Rather than seek some sort of revenge, forgive the offense, the insult, even the crime against you. Do not let it fester in your heart and infect you, making you one who wants to hurt. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9 says, "Whoever forgives someone's sin makes a friend, but gossiping about the sin breaks up friendships." You can even break up friendships by not forgetting a sin and continually bringing it up. In Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4, Jesus says, "Be alert. If you see your friend going wrong, correct him. If he responds, forgive him. Even if it's personal against you, and repeat it 7 times through the day, and 7 times he says, 'I'm sorry, I won't do it again,' forgive him." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 tells us, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." And Proverbs 20, 22 reminds us not to give in to the temptation of taking matters into our own hands. Instead, trust God to take care of the matters. It says, don't say, "I will get even for this wrong." Wait for the Lord to handle the matter. Wait for the Lord to handle the matter. So how can I get myself or avoid the swamp of anger and wrath? First of all, forgive them. Forgive the person that has wronged you. Secondly, help them. Help them. Proverbs 25, verse 21 says, "If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Proverbs 25:21. Not only are we not to seek personal revenge on our enemies, we are to respond to their basic needs with compassion, regardless of how they would treat you if the situation was reversed. We are not to withhold help that any person deserves, for we are all created in God's image. After the collapse of the Berlin Wall, no person in all of East Germany was more despised than the former communist dictator, Erich Honecker. He had been stripped of all his offices, and even the Communist Party rejected him. He was kicked out of his villa, and the new government refused him and his wife housing. The Honeckers were homeless and destitute. Enter Pastor Ove Holmer, director of a Christian help center north of Berlin. He was made aware of the Honeckers' straits, and Pastor Holmer felt it would be wrong to give them a room meant for even needier people. So the pastor and his wife decided to take the former dictator into their own home. Now, Erich Honecker's wife, Margot, had ruled the East German education system for 26 years. Pastor Holmer's had 10 children. 8 of them had been turned down for higher education due to Mrs. Honecker's policies, which discriminated against Christians. Now the Holmers were caring for their personal enemy, the most hated man in Germany. This was so unnatural, so unconventional, yet so Christ-like. By the grace of God, the Holmers loved their enemies, did them good, blessed them, and prayed for them. They turned the other cheek. They, in essence, gave their enemies their coat by allowing them into their own home. They did to the Honeckers what they would have wished the Honeckers would do to them. Help them. If your enemy is hungry, give him food. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. You know, we would do that with a stray animal. Why would we refuse any human being? Proverbs chapter 25, verse 22. We read verse 21. Verse 22 finishes the statement to show kindness to your enemy with, in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Now, Paul also mentions this in Romans. Now, this may be expressing the hope your kindness will lead to their repentance, or if instead they continue to harden their hearts against you, they will reap God's judgment for rejecting a demonstration of his grace. Yet, however they choose to respond, the Lord is pleased when you reflect his mercy through your gracious action. Jesus went even further, however. He didn't stop at helping his enemy. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48 says, and this is Jesus speaking, you have heard people say, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for anyone who mistreats you. Then you will be acting like your Father in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both good and bad people, and he sends rain for the ones who do right and for the ones who do wrong. If you love only those people who love you, will God reward you for that? Even tax collectors love their friends. If you greet only your friends, what's so great about that? Don't even unbelievers do that? But you must always act like your Father in heaven. So we really should go back to point two and replace what we said before, help them, replace that with instead love them. Jesus wants us to forgive our enemies and show them love. By now, if you have really been listening, your mind should be full of questions. Forgive and love those who have hurt me? Do I really have to do this to get out of the swamp of anger and bitterness? Is this what Jesus asks of all his disciples, or just those that he's called into leadership? Well, let's think now. What did Jesus teach us to pray in the Lord's Prayer? There's that part in verse 12, Matthew 6, 12. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Oh, yeah. It seems the forgiveness of our sins is contingent on forgiving those who have sinned against us. Is that what Jesus is saying? He sure is. As you look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it confirms it. Jesus says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, bear with each other and forgive each other. If someone does wrong to you, forgive that person because the Lord forgave you. We're to remember that. Christian, Jesus' parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 18, it's recorded in verses 23 to 35, is for us. This parable of the unforgiving servant is for us. Wants to make us think, how could one who has been forgiven a debt they could never repay? It was literally hundreds of years of salary, the equivalent. How could someone who has been forgiven a debt they could never repay be so calloused and heartless not to forgive a small debt which was owed to them? That is what we are doing, Christian, when we refuse to forgive and show love to those who hurt us. It's showing we do not understand the gospel. We do not understand what Jesus has done for us. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50, tells of a time Jesus was invited to dinner at the home of Simon the Pharisee. While Jesus was there eating, he was reclining, a woman with a sinful reputation in the town came weeping. With her tears, she washed Jesus' feet and wiped them dry with her hair, and then anointed his feet with perfume. Simon the Pharisee couldn't believe what was happening. And he thought to himself, if Jesus really is a prophet from God, he would know that this woman touching him is a sinner, and he would send her away. We are told that Jesus knew what Simon was thinking, and he asked him a question about being grateful for being forgiven. He said, you know, someone was forgiven this much, and someone was given forgiven even more, you know. Which one do you think would be more grateful? Jesus concluded his conversation with Simon by saying, this is in verse 47 of Luke chapter 7, "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Christian, an unforgiving heart says you do not appreciate your own forgiveness. You do not appreciate the extent of your forgiveness. You know, what the Lord has forgiven us for is far, far greater than any offense that someone could have done towards us. But you may say, "Ah, Pastor, this is so hard. This is so hard." And I would say to you, no, it's not hard. It's impossible. It's impossible what Jesus is asking us to do if we try and do it in our own strength. To forgive and to love this way is impossible. Now, Jesus' answer to his disciples' question in Matthew 19, 25 and 26 about if the rich struggle to enter heaven, then who can be saved, I think fits here as well. To forgive and love this way is impossible. Matthew 19, 26 says, "Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible." Christian, do you believe that's true in your life? With God, everything is possible, even healing a hurt, a bitterness, letting a resentment go that you may have been carrying for years, and you say, "I've tried, but it's impossible." Humanly, yes, but not for God. Humanly speaking, responding to evil with forgiveness and love is impossible. That is why you cannot do it in your own strength. Bring your struggles, your resentments, your bitterness, your questions to the Lord. And you may say, "But they're so ugly. I don't want him to see this." Christian, he already knows. He already knows this burden you're carrying, and he's inviting you to come and lay it down. Trust him with it. Turn it over to him. Read his word. Listen to his Spirit's prompting and leave it with him to take care of. And daily ask the Lord through the power of his Holy Spirit to love your enemies through you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says to us, "I can do all things through Christ because he gives me strength." Don't try to live the Christian life in your own strength. It won't work. It won't work. We're going to close our service by listening to a hymn called "Forgive Our Sins as We Forgive." Let me read it for you. "Forgive our sins as we forgive. You taught us, Lord, to pray. But you alone can grant us grace to live the words we say. How can your pardon reach and bless the unforgiving heart that broods on wrongs and will not let old bitterness depart? In blazing light, your cross reveals the truth we dimly knew. How small the debts men owe to us, how great our debt to you. Lord, cleanse the depths within our soul and bid resentment cease. Then reconcile to God and man. Our lives will spread your peace." Amen. That hymn is called "Forgive Our Sins as We Forgive." It was written in 1966. Now let me close with a benediction. You have been given every good gift for proclaiming God's presence and God's love. The world is thirsting for this good news. People struggle for words of hope and peace. As you have been blessed, now go to be a blessing in God's name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Walk in His strength. Thank you for joining us today. Goodbye.